Welcome to Faith for Families with Joe McGee. Joe has invested the last 20 years training people from all walks of life in family, marriage, and parenting issues. His unique ability to connect and communicate with all ages, along with his sense of humor and Bible knowledge, create a wonderful laugh and learn experience. So listen today as hope is renewed through the knowledge of God's Word. And now, here's Joe.
Welcome to Faith for Families. We are continuing a great program called What the Bible Says About Child Training. We talked about negative training, about passive training, aggressive training. You know, we're training our children whether we realize it or not, that they're doing what we're doing. They're watching us. They're paying attention. They react to pressure like we do. They react to frustration. They either are problem solvers or they're problem makers, basically because they watched us. And we did this thing for several lessons talking about the art or skill of parenting, that there's things we need to learn if we're going to produce, you know, the character of God in the next generation. You know, God said in Malachi, he wasn't just looking for a seed, he's looking for a godly seed. Now I want you to listen to this. We read some of these scriptures here, talking about what the Bible says about child training. God's made certain promises to parents. If you're a parent, single parent, older parent, grandparent, makes no difference. There are promises to parents concerning children. Just listen to this. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes a glad father. Well, evidently, that'd be good to have a wise son or a wise daughter, because I want to be glad. Mama wants to be glad. God said, you know, if you do what's right, you'll be a glad parent. I like that. Proverbs 23:24-25 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. The father and the mother shall be glad, and that the one that bore them shall rejoice. It's like, you're going to be thrilled you had these kids. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son, he will give you rest, he will give delight to your soul. Isn't that great? Delighted soul, give you rest, make you happy, make you glad. That's a promise. My kids are a reward, and they're supposed to be a blessing. Proverbs 31:28, talking about the virtuous woman, that she shall rise up in the morning, and her husband and her children will call her blessed, and they'll praise her. Not mama take this thing and I'm not doing it and forget you and I don't like you and I hate you. No, it says her children rise up and call her blessed. Those are promises that my kids are supposed to be a blessing in my life if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, training them up in the right way. That's why we covered that you train and you teach. They're both involved in raising up kids and what the Bible says about child training. But there are curses. We've talked about this. Proverbs 10:1 again says, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I don't want that. Things are heavy enough. He's not heavy, he's my brother. Those things aren't funny. I don't want heaviness. Proverbs 17:21 says this, he that begets a fool does it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. If you've produced a child, that child's going to be a fool instead of a wise man, said you have no joy. And then Proverbs 29:15 says, a child, when left to himself, brings his mother to shame. Well, I don't want that. I don't want to be ashamed. You know, I want to do what's right so my kids will do what's right. That's going to take some effort on my part. It's going to be time consuming. It's going to take some time. Somebody's just going to have to tell the truth. There's great reward, but there will take effort. Children are a gift from God. We've covered this in Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Job 33:4 says this, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Our children may, you know, all the time, kids upset, well, I don't like my parents, and I didn't get to pick my parents, I didn't get to pick my name. So that's true. You're born on this planet, you come the same way. You didn't pick your parents, you didn't pick the time you were born, you didn't pick your name. But I tell kids all the time, you didn't come from your parents, you came through your parents. Your parents provided your flesh, but God's provided your spirit. Spirit came from God, not your mom and dad. The gift that you have is a grace gift from God, 1 Peter says, not from your mom and dad. You inherited certain traits from your mom and dad, you know, maybe some skills, musical ability, but the incredible gift that you will use to serve your fellow man and earn a living and please God with is from God himself, bypassing all the family tree or genealogy. Grace gifts from God. God's objective for children is very simple. Now listen, we've quoted these over and over. Let me put them in context. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6-7. This is God's objective for children. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, You shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. God's objective for children is that they be taught, teaching, teaching, teaching. Psalms 34, verse 11 says this, "Hearken to me, you children, come to me. I will teach you the fear of God." Ephesians 6, 4, "Fathers," and actually the word there is for moms and dads, "provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Not only am I commanded, this is God's objective. Once we have this child that we got pregnant, we birthed it, I've got to teach it. I've got to start to nurture and admonish it. Teach, nurture, admonish. Nurture means rules, regulations, rewards, and punishments. Then Proverbs 26 is train. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. To teach, nurture, admonish, train. Teach, nurture, admonish, train. I'm to teach, nurture, admonish, and train. That's my job. That's God's objective. Got this child, a clean slate, free will creature. Joe, teach them, nurture them, admonish them, and train them. Joe, I got four simple things. Teach, nurture, admonish, and train. It will never change. That's God's objective. Now, parents are responsible. Romans 13, we quoted this in one of our other lessons. "Let each one of you be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be ordained of God." In other words, parents have been delegated as the authority of God. I am God's authority in your life. Children's answer to this is very simple. They are to obey and honor. Mom and dad's to teach, to nurture, to admonish, to train. You know, I have the authority given by God according to Romans 13. I am God's representative in your life. Your job as a child now, because I have a job, you have one, is to obey and honor. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things." This is right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you." It's not an option. I'm to obey my parents. I'm to honor my father and mother. Then Ephesians 6:2, it repeats it again. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with the promise that it will be well with you and you'll live long upon the earth. Children are to be trained by their parents. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it." So I go back. I have a responsibility. Here's what the Bible says about child training as a parent. I'm to teach, nurture, admonish, and train. Children, what's your job? Obey and honor. This is how I get blessed. This is how you get blessed. Now, here's the challenge. Why is this so boxed in, so tight, like railroad ties? Why is this? Because of the child's dual nature. Now, most people don't understand this. Genesis 5:3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image." Now, what does that mean? Well, Adam was made in the image of God. Be like God. Think like God. Talk like God. Walk with God. Fellowship with God. But sin entered Adam when he fell. So when Adam fell into sin, he reproduced a son not in God's image. He reproduced a son, according to Genesis, in his own image with that sin nature. Do you understand what happened? That thing got broken. Therefore, Psalms 51:5 says this, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That does not mean an illegitimate birth. It means I was born with a sin nature, the nature to do wrong, to rebel. Children, as sweet, as cute, as cuddly as they are born with a sin nature that eventually will come to full fruition and will have out in that rebellion if not taught, nurtured, admonished, and trained. If they don't respond with obedience and honor, then we're going to have, instead of a blessing, we're going to have a curse. Instead of an asset in the community, we're going to have a horrible thing in the community. Instead of a child of God, we've got a child of the devil. Because these things are the reason we have child training. These things have got to take place. Training your children, again, Proverbs 22:6. We've got a responsibility to train them up in the way. And it's not just any way. Here's the thing of God. Now, here's four things I want to give you. How not to train. This is what training is not. Okay? Training is not raising. Now, my father raised incredible tomatoes when I grew up. Incredible soil in the Tennessee Valley. Beautiful tomatoes. He raised them for a long time and not very successfully. Put that tomato plant in the ground. Man, you come out, you fertilize that thing, you water it so it gets plenty of sunlight. That thing began to grow, but as it began to grow, you know, and get taller, put off little yellow blooms. You know how the little tomato plant does? Then the little green tomato. As that little tomato began to grow, pressure was brought on that plant. And as that thing began to grow, it would put weight. And as it grew, it pulled more on that stem until pretty soon that tomato is laying over on the ground. And about the time it should be something good to eat, ready to pick, the pressure from inside that tomato has pulled it over on the ground, and now it's rotten. The worms have got to it, or the animals have got to it. So we just raised it. And we realized something. There was an older farmer nearby when my dad first started gardening. He said, Mr. B, you've got to train that plant. You can't just raise tomatoes. You have to train tomatoes. And he brought over some wire mesh, made a little round tube out of it. And we started all over again with new tomato plants and shoved that wire mesh around that tomato plant. As that plant began to grow and put off blooms, those tomatoes, what we would do, we would tie a little stem around this little old neck, and we'd tie it up so it couldn't lean over. We'd pull it up to the side of that wire mesh around it. And that plant, sometimes those plants got 2, 2.5, 3 feet tall. They were massive. And even though the tomatoes got large, that wire mesh trained that tomato plant to stay straight and strong and not fall over in the ground. And we were able to pick many, many good ripe tomatoes during the growing season, be able to can them because we had to train. You don't raise a child. It doesn't say raise up a child. That just means feed it, clothe it, nurture it. It means to train it. I've got a specific goal in mind. Teaching by itself is not training. Teaching is just talking. If I don't enforce the talking, teaching doesn't do any good. There's got to be something that backs it up. That's why Romans 13, verse 1 through 8, anybody in a position of authority has two responsibilities. I am to confront and punish evil. I am to praise that which is good. I can't just talk to you. I've got to back it up. If I tell you to stop out here as a police officer, I've got to have the ability to back that up. That's why as a country we have a military. We tell you can't be going around just killing innocent people. I've got to have an ability to back that up. If I tell you, you just can't come attack us and bomb us without us responding. I've got to be able to back up what I say. Teaching's part of training, but it not just by itself. Ignoring a child's faults is not training. My job's to point out your faults, your weaknesses. You know, we used to laugh about that in marriage seminars, that a spouse is nothing more than a gift from God to reveal character flaws in your life because that God wants us to grow up. Setting a bad example is not training. If I expect to train my child up a certain way, I've got to act a certain way myself. Four examples of incorrect training is this: repeating instructions over and over and over, and where you're nagging, justifying instructions. Well, here's why I need you to do that. You don't need to justify. God doesn't justify. I need you to do this. Remember we talked about the 0 to 12 and then 13 to maturity stages from the training to the teaching? I don't have to justify what I'm asking you to do. I'm not being unreasonable. I'm not asking you to do anything illegal, immoral, unethical. I'm asking you to do something I need you to do. Bribing for obedience. Well, if you do this, I'll give you this. Now, rewarding is one thing. Bribing is something else, and they look the same, but the motive is what's different. Than allowing excuses. You allow excuses and you're going to create something that's going to be horrible to deal with. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you this right here. You're going to like this. Listen to this. Rebellion. 5 examples of active rebellion. Sometimes people say, well, how do you know if your child's rebellious? Well, just listen. You'll know. Number 1, defiantly saying no is rebellion. Child screams no. Well, we don't have to guess or pray about this. That's out and out aggressive rebellion. Number 2, hitting parents. Kid go bopping around on a parent like they're in a boxing ring. That's rebellion. Number 3, knowingly disobeying. We used to say that rebellion is when you do something I have repeatedly told you not to do. No, it's not spilling your milk at the table. That's not rebellion. It's not knocking out the plate glass window in the living room with a rock because you're trying to get across the top of the house that slipped out of your hand. That's not rebellion. Children do childlike things. They bust stuff, break stuff. There's an old saying, you can't tell a child what not to do fast enough. They're discovering new things. Their world's expanding. But knowingly disobeying, throwing temper tantrums is rebellion. Kicking, screaming, hollering, you know, kids just completely out of control. Parents trying to bribe. I've seen them in airports. I've seen them in seminars all around the country. Mom, dad, it's the 4-year-old controlling the parent, not the parent controlling the child. And ignoring instructions. Those are 5 examples of active or aggressive rebellion. Here's 4 examples that you sometimes don't realize of passive rebellion. Number 1, consistent forgetfulness. Well, I forgot. Well, bless your heart. Well, you know, bless your heart is really kind of a southern colloquialism for you're stupid. Bless your heart. You can't be consistently forgetful. That's just rebellion. You're not doing what it takes to be responsible. Remind yourself. External obedience with a bad mental attitude. You do it, but you huff and puff when you do it. You hyperventilate like somebody just turned on the air conditioner. You roll your eyes back in your head like you just got demon possessed. You know, passive obedience where you do it, but you do it with a bad attitude. You miss the whole point. Number three, obeys only on his own terms. I'll do it if you'll do this. I'll do it if you'll let me do this. I'm not negotiating with you. This is a negotiation. I'm a parent and you're the child. And then number five, does what is required, but not how it should have been done. Does what is required, but not how it should have been done. Well, now you got a problem. I ask you to rake the leaves and put them down in a ravine, not just move them over to the other side of the yard. Well, that's a long way down there. Well, that's not what I ask you to do. And you have kids start making excuses, and they learn to become lazy. They're not effective, not efficient, not doing what's right. And that's what you're trying to teach. It's a character thing we're trying to teach. Now, chastisement. People think, well, my child's sweet. Listen to me. Chastisement is normal. They got a sin nature. That's why, again, parents teach, nurture, admonish, train, kids obey and honor. Why? Kids got a sin nature. They are born with it. Came from Adam, down through the family line. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because that line came from the Father, okay? That nature came through the Father, through man, through Adam. And so he had to be born of a virgin because there was no sin in him. Didn't come down through his family line. Okay, come through Adam, he didn't have a natural father. Instead, his father in heaven was that. That's why he had the supernatural birth. So what happens, everybody's born, every human's got a sin nature when they're born, and eventually it's going to show up. This is why you need chastisement, correction. Means to inflict punishment or suffering upon with a view of amendment. It means, you know, I'm going to have to inflict some sort of thing that makes you stop doing what you're doing. And here's what it is. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14 says this, "And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I love you as my son, but I will correct you if you start anything to do with rebellion." It says the sin of witchcraft, it will cut your life short. I will not let you do that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. "For what son is he whom a father chastens not?" Look, chastisement is just part of life where you have to be corrected. You have to see some kind of punishment. It's going to have to, because you've got a sin nature and you have a tendency to do what's wrong. Hebrews 12, verse 8, "But if you be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." He said, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't care what you did, but because I love you, I will not let you do just what you want to do and get your life cut short. It's not going to happen. Now, chastisement is an expression of love. Now, mom and dad, you have to listen to this. Get this word inside of it. Hebrews 12, 6 says this, "But whom the Lord loves, whoever the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." He said, if I love you, I'll correct you because I love you. I will correct you. I love you. I have a certain way I want you to live because I know living this way will get you long life, riches, honor, full life, happy life. So I'm going to see to it you live a quality life. I will help you do that. I'm not trying to make you feel stupid. I'm not trying to injure you or hurt you or abuse you in any way. That's against the law. But I am going to control you. I'm going to train you and control you. Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten," God says. "As many as I love, I will rebuke and chasten." Proverbs 13:24, "He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him early in life." Proverbs 19:18 says this, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying." I'm saying you have to spank a child, you have to chastise. They're not going to like it. They're saying, no, thank you, Dad, Mom. Thank you for helping me do better. They're not going to like it. That sin nature doesn't like it at all. The rod is the instrument of human authority. Listen to this, Proverbs 22:15. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die." Proverbs 23:14, "For you shall beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell." In other words, that sin nature's got a bent trying to destroy him. Every son, every daughter, every human has a sin nature bent on destroying that individual. That's why the teaching and preaching of God's word and being saved, your soul being saved, and renewing your mind, and getting to a child early with a story of the gospel. So there's internal control. You know, if there's internal control, we don't need external control. The reason, if you raise up a child, just say yes or no, sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and be obedient, and you never teach them the word of God, there is never going to be internal control. They will grow up one day and be in flat-out rebellion because, pretty soon you're too big to spank. You know, there's certain state laws that don't allow certain things, you know. And in my state where I live, I'm allowed, according to state law, to swat, paddle, or spank so long as I do not leave a bruise or use excessive force. For that is a jail sentence and an incredible fine. God never intended man to abuse his children. We are not to be beating them or hurting them. But I do need to control you so you won't either kill yourself, get somebody else killed, or cut your life short. And you don't do it all the time. It's just for rebellion. It's not for foolishness. It's that childlike thing. It's that out-and-out rebellion that we're talking about. Proverbs 23:14, you shall beat the child with a rod and deliver soul from hell. And then Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Now, let's get you a little definition here. I'm going to give you a list here that you're going to like this, of control. Control is simple, training and controlling. What the Bible says about training and controlling your children. It means to regulate, to hold back, to restrain or curb. Control is the force of pressure by which you exercise your right of parental authority and leadership. The right to set standards, to direct the actions, and to administer justice to your children. God has put me, according to Romans 13, I am that guy. You know, even when I was a school administrator, I said, please don't come see me unless I invite you to my office, because that means you're in trouble, and I'm the guy that has to hand out the punishment. And what it is, there's an old saying that discipline without a relationship will breed rebellion in the heart of a child. I'm not a hireling trying to make your life miserable or hurting you or keep you from having fun, but I am the guy that will enforce the rules that keep us living in harmony and peace and protection with the best quality of life. Three functions of control. Number one, power to direct, to use force necessary to cause your child to follow your instructions. Number two, power to restrain, to use pressure to hold them back from what he would do if left to his own will. Like, can't let your kid play out in the middle of the yard. Can't let your child stick a fork inside the electrical outlet. Can't let your child put their hand on a hot eye. I will do what it takes to restrict you. If I have to get drawer locks and door locks and cages and latches, and no, if I have to spank you or whatever I need to do, no, I will not let you hurt yourself, cut your life short. Again, Proverbs 29:15 talks about this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself and bring his mother to shame. 1 Samuel 3:13, look at this, what God said to Samuel about his sons. He said, for I have told this man that I will judge his house. Remember what we said in 1 Corinthians? That if I judge myself, nobody else has to do it for me. God has tried to talk to this father whose sons are incredibly evil, incredibly unruly, sons of the devil. He said, I have told him, I'm not yelling, I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And what you read, if you read in Samuel, Eli talked to his sons, but he would not restrain them. He let them run wild. They were communicating fornication in the doorway of the temple. They're stealing the offerings out of the offering plate. They're committing vile acts. And God said, Eli, make them stop. And three times the Bible says Eli talked to them. God said, teaching's there, but there's no training. You have not trained your sons. And he says, I know what I'm doing. So control equals love. If I love you, and I love your future, I'm going to keep you from hurting yourself. Where do you begin? Best time to begin in training and controlling is when the child's small. The child's response should be immediate to the parent's command. Three basic commands is no, stop, and come. And not get into long verges. Sometimes we're talking too much with them. Conflict is normal. And sometimes people don't know that. There's a new seminar we just did called Caution, Marriage, and Progress. And where I taught husbands and wives across America, the number one prediction of divorce is habitual avoidance of conflict. Listen, you have two people, you got sin natures, you got flesh, sometimes not everybody's happy, and there's a tendency to butt heads. What you've got to do is come up with some rules. That's what nurture is, to have rules, regulations, rewards, and punishment. Conflict is normal. You need some rules to help. What are we going to do if we have one? I'm going to close with this list. This is Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley had 19 children, including John and Charles Wesley, the great Methodist preachers of England. The following is a list of guidelines she used in raising her 19 kids. Now, just listen to this. These are basic rules. This is how you have, conflict is normal, so how are we going to handle it? Number one, eating between meals was not allowed. Well, that'll take care of a lot of problems right there. Eating between meals not allowed. As children, all kids are being to bed by 8 o'clock. Well, that stops a lot of yelling and hollering. This is before, television. They were to take their medicine without complaining. She was to subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God. to save the child's soul. I'm not going to have your own will. I want God's will. Teach a child to pray as soon as they could talk. Number six, require all children to be still during church service. Number seven, give them nothing they cry for and give them only for which they ask for politely. Number eight, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Number nine, never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Number 10, never punish a child twice for a single offense. Number 11, commend and reward good behavior. Number 12, any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Number 13, preserve property rights, even in the smallest matters. Number 14, strictly observe all promises. Number 15, require no daughter to work before she can read well. They had child labor back then. And number 16, teach children to fear the rod. You know, Susanna West did an incredible job raising her children to serve God, change the world. Her kids did. She had some simple, basic rules based on the Word of God so everybody can live in peace and harmony. You get more than two people together in a house, you need a policy manual. That's why you have rules. Rules are not a bad thing. We've been taught that rules are bad. Rules are life-giving. Keeps you safe. Don't touch, danger, high voltage, bridge out. Rules keep you safe. But if you're used to going through life disregarding rules, well, I don't have to do that. That's just for somebody else. I don't have to put my seatbelt on. That's just for somebody else, you know. What a horrible thing to have happen, you know. Just horrible. You know, there are things that happen all the time because people just don't do the simple things because they learn disobedience as a child. I pray today that God gives us wisdom, mom and dad, to do righteously with our children, to have kids grow up, be happy, healthy, emotionally whole because they did what's right, and they'll be like God trying to tell Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be happy. Happy kids are those that do what's right. Father, give us wisdom as moms and dads to train up our children in the way they should go so that we'll have great love and peace and harmony in the home. We will not raise rebellious children, but our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Faith for Families with Joe McGee. To contact us or to order resource materials, write to P.O. Box 691498, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74169. Our toll-free order number is 1-800-482-5862. You can also visit us on the web at joemcgeeministries.org. Join us next time for more Faith for Families.